Ponty Doherty, hotelier, auctioneer and chairman of Ballylennan Development Association, has had a difference of opinion with his daughter Josie about her taking a catering job in Vivian Bowles Arts Centre in the Old Courthouse, and also about her supposed relationship with the unsuitable Paddy McGoldrick. Ponty is unaware that Muriel McConkie, secretary of the Development Association, has been employing Paddy as a decorator in the house which she shares with her sister Vera, where Paddy repainted the spare room for the visit of their relative, Sister Gabriel, a missionary nun. But is Gabriel really a nun, Muriel and Vera speculate, and will they lose face if it is learned that she has relinquished the order? Furthermore, it appears that Sister Gabriel is not on holiday at all. Ballylennan, 1955.
Ballylennan call office. Number, please.
Hello. Actually, it's your number. I'm looking for Miss McConkie. This is Vivian Bowles speaking.
Yes, Miss Bowles.
Is Sister Gabriel there, I wonder?
No, Miss Bowles. She's gone out to early mass.
Oh, of course. I have to rush off to school now, but I'll telephone again in the break. Will she be in around 11?
I couldn't say, Miss Bowles. I heard her mention that she hopes to call in a number of old friends, but I don't know her plans.
Well, I can count myself as one of them. Mm. Old friends. You might mention that I rang.
I will, Miss Bowles. Goodbye. Are you there, Muriel?
I've been here just to Sister Gabriel's room.
Yeah, I'll come up.
She was very quiet leaving the house this morning. I didn't hear a stir from her. I suppose we should make the bed.
No, she's the bed made herself.
Oh. And Paddy McGoldrick didn't do a bad job in painting those walls. I hope she didn't notice they were just done new. My goodness, Muriel, she travels light.
Suppose you get into the way of that in the jungle.
I don't see any religious objects. Does she even have a rosary or a missal?
Oh, she had those with her to mass. I didn't see her go out, but the note said back at 9 o'clock.
Well, if she's definitely gone to mass, she can't have become a Protestant. That's one thing in her favour. Oh, Miss Capricorn is bleating on the line there, very quick off the mark, looking for Sister Gabriel.
What was it Sister Gabriel said she was going to broadcast? I don't know whether to call her sister or Betty.
A witness for unity, I think. Oh, that's a nice pair of brogues.
London, I suppose.
And the jacket's quite stylish.
Look at the trimming on the cuffs. She'd be well able to afford that if she's working at the BBC. 800 a year that woman gets who does the Make Do and Mend programme.
More than she'd get in the clearing by the Zambezi. Oh, there's the letterbox. I'll go down and see who it is.
It's far too early for the post. You can take the boat off the door. It's time I was opening the shop.
It's Paddy McGoldrick's account for painting and plastering. I wonder why he didn't hand it in. Muriel, would you come down? Would you look at this?
I suppose I should give a polish to the lino before she gets back. What is it, Vera?
Paddy's bill. Perhaps you should sit down before you faint. To plastering and painting of spare bedroom at number 2 Tyrconnell Street, including materials, time and labour, £11.19.6.
And he said he'd treat us well.
And isn't he in a queer hurry for it too, since he only finished yesterday morning?
It's a terrible price, Vera. Do you think we should pay it?
Do you think, can we pay it? We'll have to get someone to advise us. Mr. Doherty.
Oh, no. Fancy mustn't know we employed Paddy, seeing the way things are between the two of them. He'd think us very disloyal.
I wonder what Paddy charged Reverend Hawthorne at the manse.
Oh, well, we couldn't ask him. Because of her. She'd probably mention it to Sister Gabriel, and that'd be very embarrassing. Now, the two of them are bound to get together, seeing they appear to be such old friends.
As I envisaged, Vivian, your minister should lead the praise, since it is church, and the parish priest should give the sermon or address.
Well,
yes, that's very logical, Betty. But there are two things. First, I'm not sure that the Reverend Hawthorne would wish that, because he's sensitive to local undercurrents.
Georgie Dawson, 100 lines if I see you doing that again.
Ballylennan has been selected above all other places in the island. We are going to identify it as one of the bulwarks of faith, implied in the title of the programme.
It's obvious you've been away a long time, Betty.
Georgie, I warned you. I'm sorry. You know we're only about 10% of the population.
That's the whole idea.
I want to present a small nonconformist group, demonstrating how well it coexists with the majority. The second point is that the parish priest is unwell, and his parishioners mightn't think it proper to be represented by a temporary curate with a face like a stewed parsnip and a voice like a banshee.
Vivian, he can't be as bad as that.
The description is not mine, but that of one of his own flock, a certain Paddy McGoldrick. Anyway, Father Free wouldn't let the curate be seen out, even if he was invited.
Georgie! Away into the schoolroom and write out 100 times, I must not fool the girl. Pigskin.
Oh, Miss Bowles.
Away in with you.
Well, if you don't like the programme, they can always blame the silly ex-nun who lost her marbles along with her wimple. Of course, there'll be those who'll consider it a more sin to be seen even crossing the threshold of our church.
Come, Vivian. This is 1955.
Betty, in Ballylennon, we pride ourselves in continuing to observe the centennial calendar.
Whatever's that?
100 years behind the times.
Isn't that all part of the attraction?
Now, I must meet your Reverend Hawthorne.
My Reverend...
That's the manse there, across the road.
Aren't you going to introduce me?
I have to call the children back in. They've already had an extended break.
2 minutes extra freedom won't harm them.
Reverend Hawthorne and I are having a slight difference of opinion on a certain matter.
I take it isn't theological.
I don't quite know if there's an ology to categorise it.
Well, I won't ask.
Oh, yes, listen. I must say hello to Fonzie Doherty. Do you think I can just drop in?
If he's not Miss Willie Arms, he'll be in his auctioneering office next door. And if he's not neither, your cousin Muriel would know where to find him.
That's right, Muriel. The county health officer went down himself to St. Leonard's Well and took a sample of the water.
What did he say, Fonzie?
He said there was an overabundance of animal matter.
What matter, Fonzie?
Animal, you know. Huh? What comes out the other end?
Oh, dear.
And a high percentage of gasoline in the water. It was just unfortunate that Larry Donaghy parked his tractor above the well the previous night, and he didn't know the petrol tank was leaking.
So suppose that's an end to the plan for a bottled water industry, then?
It was most unfortunate. The timing of the test. So... what I'm meaning you about is another idea to take its place. To compensate for it, you see. And I don't know why I didn't think of it before.
Is it the battery foul? You mentioned that once.
No. I discarded that. There'd be objections from, you know, the canary fanciers. Now, what I have in mind is much bigger. And the bigger the thought, the more likelihood there is of success.
And what have you in mind, Fonzie?
Well, our thinking to date has been much too cautious. We must go where the big money is. Making films.
Films for cameras?
No, Muriel, making movies.
Oh, that would be nice.
We have all the ingredients, the scenery and the talent. I'm asking you to call an EGM and I'll outline the project next Thursday at the usual time. We need something to get the whole community together.
Very good, Fonzie.
Oh, I just had a cup of tea with your cousin Betty.
Oh.
She made some very considerate remarks about poor tractor.
Oh, that was nice.
I didn't know she was producing programs for the wireless. We had a good chat about one she's doing from Ballylennon. She said it might be, you know, what we need to put us on the map.
It could be a religious program, Fonzie.
No, but... it'd be first-class publicity. A whole community seemed to be working together for the general good, she said. And she could be right.
She didn't tell us there'd be more than religion in it.
Well, she's a many-sided person. No doubt of that. She's taking her dinner with me here tomorrow.
Did you invite her to dedicate your new frontage?
No, that didn't seem right. I was thinking maybe I should ask Terry White to do that. Get him on our side as our new TD, you know?
Well, I hope you have a good dinner.
Oh, she has a good mind. That cousin of yours. Worth consulting. Well, goodbye for now, Muriel.
Goodbye, Fonzie.
Weaknesses to carry, take them to the Lord in prayer. Are you sad?
That.
Excuse me, Miss Bowles.
Oh, Mr. Hawthorne. I didn't know you were there.
I'm sorry. I knocked over a hassock. I was listening to the music.
I was only practicing. I didn't know there was anyone listening to all my mistakes. And that diapason stop still needs mending.
I'll telephone the man from Ferguson's in Derry tomorrow.
It would be a disgrace if it sounded like that when you're making your debut on the wireless. All those thousands of people as far away as Orkney and East Anglia listening to Lord Reith's latest prodigy and then saying the organ wasn't up to the preacher. The humiliation.
Humiliation. As I say, I'll have it seen to.
And maybe writing to the listener about it too.
I've been remiss in so many things. But like in so many things, I shall take it to the Lord in prayer, as the hymn you were singing just now so aptly reminds us.
Singing? I was only humming to myself.
But so melodiously. I found myself standing in the vestry like Jephthah the son of Zebedee at the gates of Hebron, listening to Rachel and the sweet sound that breathes upon a bank of violets.
That wasn't Rachel. That was Orsino.
Orsino?
The bard, not the book.
Oh, I'm sure you're right. You're right in so many things, Miss Bull. That's something which should be more generously acknowledged.
Oh.
So I thought I'd ask your advice on the hymns we should select for the program of Witness on the wireless.
Well, the hymnary is here on the music stand.
Stand. Should we not commence with a joyful psalm of praise?
What about, yes. Upon the hill of holiness he his foundation sets. Psalm 87, tune... Kilmarnock.
Marnock, oh yes. And here's all people clap your hands to God, Psalm 47, tune consolation.
That's arranged from Beethoven, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I think that'd be wonderful, Miss Bowle. A Beethoven tune would go down very well with the better educated listeners in England.
But here's a lovely one from Wilkins Psalmody, number 128. Blessed is each one that fears the Lord.
Oh, we mustn't omit that one, Miss Bowles. Who can that be? Hello?
Excuse me, Your Reverence.
Oh, come in, Mr. Gallagher. Pleasant to see you.
I'm not disturbing you, Your Reverence. I didn't see you at the manse, so from over here.
No disturbance at all. Miss Bowles and I are just completing our mutual business.
It's about the arrangements for the broadcast. Isn't this a nice, bright, wee church?
Church? Our forefathers eschewed the use of stained glass, believing one should look out on the beautiful land that God has placed around us.
That's a grand view, right enough. You can see the back of the barracks, too, and I notice a few slates off the roof. Good evening, Miss Bowles.
Hello, guard. Did you pick your solo?
All in the April evening. I'd have brought you the music if I'd known you were going to be here.
I thought you should sit there, to the left of Miss Bowles, so she can give you the nod when to begin. They're putting a microphone there.
Well, I have to switch it on.
I fancy it'll be on all the time.
Well, that's a weight of my mind. I hate anything mechanical. I've hands like feet and feet like flippers. The sergeant's still in sick leave, and I had the superintendent down this morning. That didn't leave me in a very comfortable position, I can tell you.
Did he give you additional duties?
He said we weren't getting enough. Someone says here, fellas riding without bicycle lamps and people with baldy tires.
Tires? That could be very dangerous.
But no one here has a bicycle lamp and everyone has baldy tires. I'd have to start me arresting the whole of Ballylennon.
I get my car serviced regularly in Letterkenny.
Oh, I'm not including you in this, Miss Bowles. It's well known everything about you is in working order. And the same for yourself, Your Reverence.
But you've reminded me I must get my suspension seen to.
Yeah, well, I'll be going now, Your Reverence. I'll come over for a wee practice when it suits you, Miss Bowles. And we can talk about the floral concert as well. Good evening, Your Reverence.
Good evening, guard.
He's such a splendid guard.
Very enthusiastic.
Shall we mark just one more hymn, Miss Bowles?
How about this one? 207. Tune Perfect Love. I'll try it.
Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee, I give thee back the life I owe.
Come on in, Becky.
This is what we used to call the commercial room. It's now a muckish suite.
I have a vague memory of it as a child. Were there framed caricatures on the walls?
That's right. Foolish old drawings of politicians on the lake. I threw them out. Too old-fashioned. Names on them like Spy and Fizz and...
I see.
I renamed the rooms after well-known landmarks. The Muckish Suite after Muckish Mountain, and the bar downstairs is the Swilly after the river, and the dining room is called the Doe, after Doe Cass. Gives it a bit of extra class.
This is where you hold your meetings.
It is indeed, aye. Miss Bowles.
Hello, everybody.
Always punctual, rises early with the canaries. Isn't that right, Miss Bowles?
Well, here we are again. An EGM, you must have something very important to tell us, Mr. Doherty.
You two know each other, of course you do. You've already arranged the broadcast. Excuse me while I fix these chairs together. I don't know who left the place in such
I met your minister, Vivian. Such a nice, shy man. I hope you aren't at loggerheads over something irredeemable, if you'll forgive my impertinence.
A misunderstanding. And how perceptive of you to notice. We've agreed on the hymns for the broadcast.
Evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Miss McConkie's here. We can start the meeting. Betty, your cousin Muriel McConkie's our honorary secretary.
Oh, excuse me. I'm out of breath.
And irreplaceable, I'm sure.
The stair carpet's wearing very well, Fonsi. I chose the pattern for Fonsi when he was redecorating the hotel.
All those wonderful swirls and whirls.
Yeah.
I recognize Packy McGoldrick's distinctive lilac distemper.
Oh, yes. Does he charge a lot?
Well, I know Reverend Hawthorne paid him today for some work. And it must have been reasonable, or he'd have said...
Ladies, we'll start the meeting. I'm sure you won't object if I introduce a distinguished observer known to you all, Miss Betty McCutcheon, formerly with the Sisters of Pity, and now in a big job in broadcast and over in England. You all know she's producing a program from Ballylennon, which, apart from its devotional nature, will further the interests of this community association. Now, you're very welcome, Miss McCutcheon.
Appreciate you, Vivian. Oh, it's lovely to be back and to see so much creative activity.
That very word, creative. And what could be more creative than a film industry? You know, when I was up in Dublin, I had a free night and I went to see The Quiet Man. Now, let me tell you, it was terrific. And I was reading on the financial pages that it's making pots of money. Oh, pots. Well, what County Mayo can do, County Donegal can do better any day.
Oh, yes.
Have you thought of a good story, Mr. Sherman?
I have, of course, Miss Bowles. Sure, as you well know, you can't go down the street of a morning without hearing half a dozen good stories. But I'm going to promote the never-to-be-forgotten tale of the Earls of Tyrone and Tyrconnell.
The Flight of the Earls.
You have it all off, Miss Bowles. Of course, I'd leave the writing of it to a professional. I don't think we should try to do everything ourselves, even though we might do it very well. But with stars like John Wayne and Victor Mature, you couldn't go far wrong.
Victor Mature.
Oh, that's the man. Ah, come in, Yala. We went ahead, you see. We thought you were on night duty.
Oh, excuse me. I thought it was only yourself. But I am on night duty. Could I have a wee word with you, Mr. Doherty, outside?
Huh? Oh, certainly, Guardian. Excuse me, ladies. I'll be back in a minute.
Yes, of course. Yeah, it is.
I've been instructed to do a wee check-up on all the vehicles passing through the town or parking the street. I think the black Ford prefect with the mudguard missing is yours.
That's right. I got that car at a very good price from Andy Bryson, the chicken choker in Coldaff, 6 years ago. You're not going to tell me it's been stolen, huh?
Oh, no, it's all right. But it's not all right. The back number plate's hanging off, and all four tyres need remoulding.
But those tyres were perfect when I bought the car.
And did you know your licence is out of date?
What?
2 years out of date. If the super saw that, it'd wring my neck.
I'll see to it in the morning.
I'll say nothing about it, so.
Do you know what you are, Gerhard? You're a star.
Get away with you.
A film star. She had bit John Wayne into a cocked hat.
A film crew would spend so many thousand in the town, Fancy was saying. I could double the size of the shop, he said. Anyway, it offered Sister Gabriel. Oh, I can't stop calling her that. For a cup of coffee in the lounge. And never invited the rest of us to join them.
I was wondering why she wasn't back with you. And I'm after making her a jug of cocoa.
She's got the whole time to go to her witness program, she calls it.
Witness what?
It's only another name for the Sunday service. What would poor Dada think if he saw us going into their church?
Or if he saw a nun going in.
But she's not a nun. And that seems to have struck Fonsi.
What do you mean?
He doesn't address her like a nun. Well, you know what I mean.
Get away.
We'll have to steer him off that course.
I'll give him a piece of my mind when next he's on the phone.
I think you should, Vera. But be genteel about it.
Oh, you know the saying, Muriel. Compliments pass when the quality meet.
I hadn't realised there was no electricity, Mr. Hawthorne. I've sent a message to our engineers to make arrangements for a cable from the town supply.
Supply. It wasn't only a matter of the expense in installing the electric, Miss McCutcheon. Some members of our congregation felt it would destroy the atmosphere of veneration. But Canon Friel has installed the electric in your church.
Hmm. Blue neon halos on all the statues. There's veneration for you.
Oh, yes.
We'll put the announcer there, the soloist there, and a little green light will come on at the pulpit and beside Miss Bowle here at the organ on the appropriate cues.
Cues.
You know, it was her pamphlet on local history that gave me the idea of including Ballylennan in the series. I'll be reading from it in my preamble.
Preamble. Miss Bowle is a splendid person. So conscientious in all her duties.
Both religious and secular, as I've observed. I hope she's appreciated for her personal qualities as well.
Not quite as much as she deserves.
You might be thinking of putting that right, perhaps.
With the help of God.
Well, I hope this broadcast will place the means in your way.
It is an honour of awesome magnitude, Miss McCutcheon, for me to have my voice heard all over the British Isles. Uh-huh. And you know, the irony of it is that if circumstances had been different, I'd have moved to Newton Cunningham last week and the opportunity would have passed me by.
Ooh. It obviously wasn't intended that you should move, Mr. Hawthorne. I'm sure you're familiar with William Cooper's immortal verses, which begin, God moves in a mysterious way.
Way.
Hello? Number, please.
Hello, Miss McConkie. Is your sister in?
No, she's gone to confession.
I'm here, Vera.
Who is that?
A customer I was attending to in the shop.
I'll ring you down, so.
Hold on a minute, Mr. Doherty.
Yes?
It wouldn't be right for us to go to that service.
It isn't a service, Miss McConkie.
I know, but it wouldn't be right for us to enter that building. My sister's very upset at the idea of you going. She didn't want to say so to your face at the meeting. She says your mother, God rest her, would go into a triple convulsion.
Well, I thought I should go for reasons of diplomacy, you know. On account of Betty McCutcheon going to so much trouble to put Ballylennan on the air for a whole half hour on a Sunday evening, when everyone's at home with a cup of tea, listening to it on the wireless.
I can't say anything about Betty McCutcheon because she's my cousin and she's stopping under our roof on the odd occasions when she's in. But how she could throw away her vows like a pot's will you'd slash out the back door is beyond me. She has us all disgraced.
Well, I mightn't go. But how will you stay away?
We'll make some excuse.
You could say you prefer to listen to it on the wire.
I'd rather go deaf than listen to it.
Tell us, Miss McConkie, how seriously would your sister take it if I attended the program?
Oh, she'd be very vexed. I'll tell you one thing she'd do. She'd resign as secretary of the Development Association.
She would not.
Indeed she would.
Are you only joking?
Would you like me to ask her?
How can you ask her when she's out?
When she comes in.
I'll not go so. I'll stay at home.
Very good. I'll tell her that. Goodbye, Mr. Doherty.
That wasn't fancy on the line, was
it? It was. He's not going. And that'll put him in a queer pickle with the Archangel Gabriel.
Keep the sound turned low, Vera. We said we wouldn't be listening.
I don't think there's anyone at home next door. I fancy they've gone down to join in so as their friends can hear them on the wireless.
This Sunday's program, in
works of faith comes from very remote and picturesque...
If I hear anyone use that word remote again, I won't be responsible for my actions. Sure, London's remote from New York. She knows that well.
And this evening, we meet the congregation of First Barry Lennon and Drumskitrick, as well as representatives of the other traditions in the neighbourhood. And now, mounting the pulpit in this delightful little early 19th century building is the minister, the Reverend Samuel Hawthorne.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord.
Amen.
My friends, neighbors, and visitors to our church, may I first welcome those of you who join us from other denominations and from local organizations. I would like to welcome in the front pew Father Fergal O'Flaherty, representing Canon Friel.
I didn't know he was gone.
Canon Friel, a speedy recovery from his indisposition. And seated a little further down, Mr. Terence White, TD, you're very welcome. Just across the aisle, I can see Mr. Alphonsus Doherty, chairman of the Barry Lennon Development Association.
What?
Responsible for many novel...
He's probably reading off an old list. No, no, Vera. He said, I can see Mr. Alphonsus Doherty. I heard that. Do you think he's mistaken him for someone else? How could anyone mistake Fonsy Doherty?
Well, it's unlikely.
Did he definitely say he wasn't going?
Yes, he did, on the phone.
But she's talked him into it. She must have waylaid him somewhere like against Willie Lounge or some dark street and taken him unawares. A minute. Isn't that Guard Gaffer? I don't know. I wasn't listening. That sounds like him. He's there too. We're living in very peculiar times, Vera. If poor Dada was still alive, it would surely kill him.
Lennon by Christopher Fitzsimon. Fonsy Doherty was played by T.P. McKenna. Vera McConkey was Stella McCusker. And Muriel McConkey, Margaret Darcy. Vivian Bowe was Anya McCartney. Guard Gallagher, John Hewitt. Sister Gabriel, Marcella Reardon. And Reverend Hawthorne, Gerard Murphy. The music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes. Bally Lennon is directed by Owen O'Callaghan.